I've got a very simple message this morning to share based on one verse in Isaiah 7, which is also quoted in Matthew 1, just after the angel has visited Joseph in a dream. He reassures him that he should take Mary as his wife and that she will have a son by the Holy Spirit who will save people from their sins. And the verse says this: "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Isaiah brought this message to King Ahaz around 700 years before the birth of Jesus, it was a prophecy about the imminent future of Israel. But looking back after the birth of Jesus, we can see it had a second and more significant fulfillment in Jesus. This verse captures the wonder of Jesus being both God and human. The virgin will conceive. He was to be born to a woman miraculously, and they will call him Emmanuel. But he would be called God with us, fully man and fully God. God with us, our God who made all of creation, who holds all things together, who always has been and always will be, came to earth as a human, as a tiny baby, to be with us. God with us was and is God's original and eternal plan. His greatest desire is to be with us. God has wanted to be with us from the beginning. He created humans in his image as the pinnacle of his creation. He walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, and they felt no shame. They enjoyed being in God's company. He enjoyed theirs. This was how it was intended to be. In Genesis 28, God appears to Jacob in a dream and says, "I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." That phrase, "I am with you," is Emmanuel. God did not change his plan for people even after they went their own way. His desire was always to be with them. And it continues through the stories of the Old Testament. For example, when the Israelites were wandering around the desert, God was with them by a pillar of fire at night and a cloud in the day. And God gave instructions for the building of the tabernacle and later the temple. This was God's way of being present with his people. And God repeatedly promises to his people he will not leave them or forsake them, most famously to Joshua as he enters God's promised land. And the messages of the prophets tell us God's heart to be with his people. For example, in Jeremiah 32, verse 38, it says, "They will be my people and I will be their God." And we'll come back to this in a minute. There are many prophecies about God's Messiah coming to save his people. And then at last, God sends Jesus, his very self, to be on earth. And we have in the Gospels a rich description of Jesus' life on earth, his care and attention for every person he encountered, then his death and his resurrection and his ascension back to heaven. John 3, verse 16, we all know this as a very well-known verse, says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." This very familiar verse sums up the message of the whole Bible from beginning to end. God loves each one of us and wants to be with us forever. But when Jesus returned to heaven, things weren't the same as before. No longer was God's presence only available in the temple. Jesus promised he would not leave us as orphans, but would send his Holy Spirit to live in us. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost for those first disciples. God's Holy Spirit came and filled them with his love and power. And in Revelation 21, we see the fulfillment of God making his home with his people, echoing that verse from Jeremiah. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This is our final destination, being fully with God, without the frustration of his invisibility or our struggles to hear what he is saying and understand what he is doing. But what about here and now? God's heart is still to be with us, and his Holy Spirit is still available to each of us, to live in us and fill us with his presence. What does this actually mean for us? All of the things that God is are true in your here and now. All of the things that God is are true in your here and now. Every time you read the Bible, you'll discover a little more about who God is. I cannot possibly describe them all, but here are a few that came to mind as I pondered this. Starting at the beginning, he is creator. All that you see around you in some way displays something of his presence. And not just nature, but also the things that we humans have made as we display his creativity, such as in architecture, medical breakthroughs, artwork, engineering. God's presence is all around us in these things. He's our companion. Just as God spent time with Adam and Eve in the garden, Moses in the courts of Pharaoh, Esther in the king's palace, Daniel in the lion's den, and as Jesus sat around a fire with his disciples on the beach, he is with us. And the list goes on. He's powerful. This is the God who can stop the sun in the sky, split the sea, calm storms, and most importantly, defeat death and evil forever and raise back to life. He's a miracle worker. He made an axe head float. He had a picnic feed 5,000 people. He gave barren women children. He raised the dead. He's our comforter. This is one of the names of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us God is close to the brokenhearted and those who mourn. He binds up the wounds. He will wipe away our tears. He's also our provider. The God who met the needs of the Israelites in the desert for 40 years can meet your needs too. He's a healer. We see Jesus heal leprosy, blindness, paralysis, epilepsy. Nothing is impossible. Another name of the Holy Spirit, Counselor. He gives us words and knowledge when we don't know the way to go. And he's a restorer. On a beach after his resurrection, Jesus forgives and restores Peter, who had denied him. That same man, not many days later, gives a speech to thousands from many nations about who Jesus is. And Jesus describes himself as the way, the truth, and the life. Is that not what you need, what we desire in our lives? To know a way, the truth, and the life? That's who he is. And there are so many more. I cannot list them all. You will come up with others, because if you speak to any Christian, depending on where they are in their lives, they will tell you who God is in that moment for them. But whatever it is you need, God is. The psalmist understood this so well. This is a really familiar psalm, and I'm not going to read all of it to you, but I would love to read you some of Psalm 139. It's, as I say, very familiar, but just let these words speak freshly to you again. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say, even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night, but even in darkness I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. What about, what does this mean for those around us? The Bible tells us, as Matt mentioned earlier, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. God is no longer confined to one temple. He is in his people, wherever they spend their time. And he wants to be with those who don't know him as much as he wants to be with those who do. Paul puts it like this: by God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him by spreading the good news. Though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, has kept secret from the beginning. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. And that statement, although Paul made that about himself, it's true for each one of us as well. The God who is with you and is everything you need in every situation is also that good God for all those people who you come into contact with. This is the wonderful message of Christmas for everybody. So I hope my whistle-stop tour through the Bible has convinced you that God is with us and wants to be with us and wants to be with those around us. But knowing God is way more than an intellectual exercise. It's something we carry deep down in our heart or even in our gut. And so I want to move into a time of us experiencing this for ourselves. I want us to meditate on what this means for God to be with us. Jesus, present tense. Our God is with us here. Our God is with us there. I'd like us to take some time now to pause and use our imaginations as we go into another week. Perhaps you'd like to make yourself comfortable. Close your eyes. Let's invite God into some of the events of tomorrow. So let's start. Imagine lying warm, snug, asleep in bed and waking up. Maybe you don't sleep well and it's the middle of the night. Maybe you sleep very well and it's the alarm bringing you out of your stupor. You stir and open your eyes. God is here with you. Welcome him into your day. Let him be your first thought. As you eat breakfast or make a cup of tea, God is here. God made those taste buds and sense of feeling in your hands that cradles that warm mug. He is with you in the simplest of pleasures. If you're going to travel, imagine God alongside you as you walk or drive or ride. You can chat to him if you like. If you drive, does God being with you change the way you do it? Who will you you see today? Maybe it'll be a day that demands much of you physically, mentally, or emotionally. God made you, mind, body, and soul. He gave you the gifts and skills that you are using. He is in these moments, and where you lack, he can fill the gap. How will you relax today? With a meal? With others? With a book? iPad? TV? God is here too. Does knowing God is with you affect what you choose to eat, or read, or watch? God loves stories. Perhaps you could invite him to show you what he wants to say through that drama or through that story. He doesn't just talk to us through the Bible. And as you head back to your bed, give your day back to him. Invite him to take the bad bits and teach you what he'd like you to learn from them. Celebrate the good bits together. Give him your night and your dreams and rest in him. God is there. God is here. Emmanuel. What a wonderful Christmas message for today and every day.